Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I wanted to play a little bit longer today because it's time to go. We're ready to go because we haven't had a football game in 10 days. Didn't have one last Sunday. The last time the Bills were on the field was a Thursday night football game against the Miami Dolphins. And, of course, that moved them to 3-0 on the season. So we got to be ready to go on a Friday, right? I mean, last Friday it was let's talk about the game, what happened on Thursday night. And the Bills obviously beat the Dolphins 31-21 that night. And now you roll into a Sunday afternoon game, a rare Sunday 1 p.m. game in Orchard Park this year. New Orleans, the Saints coming to town. Here to talk about with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday. And our Football Fridays are brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. So I thought maybe for a minute I was going to say, let's just play something like USA, USA. They're getting their butts kicked right now in the Ryder Cup here, Dan. I mean, I don't know how much you've been watching. I know you've been over there pushing some buttons today and helping out as much as you can in the control room. So I don't know how much you can watch over here. But, man, they're getting destroyed. So here's the deal. There are four matches going on right now. Europe is up 3-1, up 4 in another, up 5 in another, and USA is up 1 in one of the matches.
Trust me, I've just been here listening to the guys react, and I'm just like, oh,
you're like, I don't
want to
watch it. You're like, I don't want to watch. It's like,
I don't need to. Like I can just get
like a horror movie, put it over your eyes.
Yeah. Right. I get the picture just from watching the other guys react.
Yeah, I know. And listen, it's going to be long day if this keeps up for the Americans, although now two up in the one match because they just made a putt. So we'll keep you updated. you know, as we go on here and talk about what's going on in the Ryder Cup. And in fact, our guy, Brian Colzio, is there. And he will join me at 10:30 this morning. So give me 1 second here, just making sure. All right. So Brian Colzio is going to join me at 10:30 this morning. And we are planning on Patrick Hammer maybe at 11 today because I think we're going to get Sean McDermott in the 11 a.m. hour today instead of the 10 a.m. hour. And if that's the case, if we get him about 11:15, 11:20, we'll have Pat a little before that. We'll talk about the weather. We'll have Sean. But of course, it's always a moving target. As I always say, keep your head in a swivel. It's a Friday. You never know. For all I know, Sean McDermott could call in the next 5 minutes if things change on his end. So just be ready. Sometime in this two-hour period, we always have Coach McDermott and for his weekly radio appearance. And of course, this week it will be a focus on injuries to Ed Oliver, Matt Milano, Spencer Brown, and A.J. Epenesa, the four players on the injury report. The Bills only have four players on their injury report, but three of them have not practiced for a couple of days. All three are starters. And of course, Matt Milano and Ed Oliver did not play over the last 2 weeks. We'll see, you know, where that goes for last two games, for each of them. And then, of course, A.J. Epenesa. Spencer Brown didn't practice the last 2 days. He was on One Bills Live after practice on Wednesday and kind of indicated that he thought he was pretty good and he should be good for the game, but you never know. We'll see what Sean McDermott says. And then, of course, A.J. Epenesa limited for a couple of days. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Saints coming to town, a little bit of some Saints memories. I posted a video yesterday. Every time the Bills play a game here at Highmark Stadium, I'm doing some, you know, memories of that team here at Highmark Stadium. There's not a lot of memories here of the Saints, to be quite honest with you. They have not visited very often, only 5 times, and they're 4-1. And the Bills are 1-4 in those games. So the only game the Bills won against the Saints here in Buffalo was 1983. And Joe Ferguson was the quarterback in that game for the Bills. That was it. That's the first time the Saints came here. After that, they came in 89, beat the Bills. They came in 2001, beat the Bills. They came in 2009, beat the Bills, and 2017 and beat the Bills. And mostly by lopsided scores in most of those games. You would hope that this game could be the lopsided score the other way, given where both these teams are. The Bills are 3-0. The Saints are 0-3. Now, I am not going to sit here and give you the old any given Sunday, right? That is true. We know that. We know that. And when I say this, it's going to sound like, yeah, that's what people say. I do think the Saints are more talented than their record suggests. I don't love when I say better than their record because your record is your record. I do think they have some talent and they can at times look like a team that should not be 0-3. They lost their first game of the year 20-13 to the Arizona Cardinals. They lost their second game 26-21. So that's 2 one-score losses before just getting blown out last week by the Seattle Seahawks, and that game got away from them very early. We don't have to look very far to go back to when the Bills were a similar type of underdog and went into Minnesota in 2018 and beat the Minnesota Vikings. So you know that anything can happen. We know that. But the Bills need to take care of business. They need to take care of business because they have everything in front of them that they want. And what I mean by that is what you want is the one seed. And then from the one seed to get to where you want to go after that. They have everything in front of them. They're in a great position right now, given their record, given their schedule. And if you look around the AFC, we've had a big debate this week, a big debate. And I want to talk about this a little bit, all right? Let's see where your head is on this. There's no right answer. There's a really good question. There's no right answer. Let's just assume for a second. Very tricky to do that sometimes, but let's just assume the Bills win on Sunday and take care of business, as they should, because you should worry about in your own games first, right? Bills win on Sunday. That's at 1 o'clock. Okay, the Bills are sitting at 4-0 at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And then at 4:25 p.m., here come the Baltimore Ravens into Arrowhead to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. The Ravens are 1-2. The Chiefs are 1-2. I've had the question all week. We've talked about it. Who should Bills fans want to win? I don't think there's a right answer here, folks. There's so many ways you could look at it. Now, what I did say, though, and I tweeted this out the other day, I do think it would be more advantageous right now, as you sit here in week number 4, for the Ravens to win. But that doesn't mean that by the end of the year that has to hold. And I'll tell you why. from my logic, the way I look at it right now, I'm going to round up, right? The Bills have a 2.5 game lead on the Ravens. 2.5 because the Ravens have two more losses and the Bills beat them head to head. So I'm just going to say 3-game lead, all right? Just for the sake of argument here. This isn't baseball, right? And haven't played the even odd number of games yet, and there's been no bye weeks yet. So the Bills have essentially a 3-game lead on the Ravens. That's monster, right? Because if the Ravens have to beat them out in record, and they already have two more losses in order to host a playoff game. The Bills have a 2-game lead on the Chiefs. So 3 on the Ravens, 2 on the Chiefs. So the way I look at it is, if the Ravens win, now both are 3 games back of you. If the Chiefs win, the Ravens are 4, which is huge, and the Chiefs are still only 2. The fly in the ointment is the Chiefs still come to Buffalo. Now, you could look at that one of two ways. If we knew the result of that game, it'd be a lot easier to call this, right? If you knew the Bills were going to beat the Chiefs anyway, heck, root for the Chiefs. Doesn't matter. Let them beat the Ravens and bury them even more. But since we don't know, and it's still possible, the Chiefs could come to Buffalo and win in November, I think you want to give them another loss. Because then, even if they do beat you here in your house, yeah, they don't. They aren't overtaking you or one game away from overtaking you and become a half game behind you, which is possible at that point. So that's the way I look at it. Now, the other part of this is the nuance part, right? That's just the record. That's the math. That's the math part of this. But the nuance part of this is, and I get this from a lot of you, yeah, but look at their schedules. The Chiefs are going to have a much tougher time as the season goes on, given their division, given their schedule. So let them win this week because they're going to lose other games along the way. And I can understand and respect that. After the Ravens, they have the Jags, the Lions, the Raiders, the Commanders, the Bills, the Broncos, the Colts, the Cowboys, Texans, Chargers, Broncos again, Raiders again. I mean, yeah. Whereas the Ravens, after this week, have the Texans and the Rams, but then the Bears, the Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, the Bengals, Steelers, like their division. Yeah, you could see like the Ravens could go on a nice run once they get to like late October, early November after their bye. So I totally understand that as well. I don't think there's a right answer here. I think that it comes down to kind of where you think each team is going to finish at the end, and that may be based on what their schedule looks like. And I'm telling you, regardless of looking at that, the math tells me I just want to keep everyone as far back as possible. Why as far back? Because when it comes down to the one seed, if everybody wins their division, you want to be at home. If everybody wins their division, you want to have the best record and play at home. I am not totally dismissing the Chargers and Colts, but right now we're not talking about them because they haven't been the teams up there and they got to prove more, right? But if everybody wins their division, the teams that have been battling here at the top of the AFC for years, Ravens, Chiefs, Bills, okay? You want to have the home field advantage and you want to be the team that sits atop with the one seed. That's why. So that's why I'm looking at it as I think that the Ravens winning would be better. 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You want to chime in on this, you are more than welcome here. So go right ahead. We could talk about the Ravens and the Chiefs. We could talk about the Bills' upcoming game, and we can answer your questions on anything going on with Buffalo Bills football. Here at a Buffalo Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. I'm watching the golf. I'm trying to keep everybody updated. I don't know who it was. Was that Shoffley maybe? It might have been Justin Thomas, actually. Just hit a really big shot, like to pull. Like I think they're pretty. He's got maybe just a few feet for birdie, I think. I'm trying to look up and see. As I noticed it, I look down and I can't tell exactly where they are. Rahm is putting for birdie right now. Rahm and Hatton actually are, what, 3 up on their match? And he's putting to tie the hole. Okay. So if he misses, I think DeChambeau and Thomas, according to what I'm reading here, would make it 2, be down 2 only. So let's see what he does here. I'll just give you a little play-by-play, and of course he did, right? Rahm nails it, and they tie the hole. My God, these guys are just playing out of their mind right now from Europe, especially Rory. Rory's been incredible. He's going for par to win the hole. He's got a short putt. He hits it. They win another hole. Not going well for Team USA at the Ryder Cup to start. I heard there's a lot of traffic problems there. Brian Colzio is going to join us at 10:30. We'll talk about that with him. And That's the plan, at least. But, you know, Brian might be in a spot where he won't be able to join us, but we're going to try and do our best on that. And like I said, we're also going to have Patrick Hammer on weather this weekend here in Buffalo. Should be beautiful again for the Bills at the Saints. All right. And Bills at Saints. Saints at Bills. For you to go to Highmark Stadium. How about that? All right. So I told you a little while ago the history of the Bills and the Saints is very interesting because there's not much of it. But when you look back on it, there are some notable, interesting games. And the first, the one that sticks out to me the most is the only one that I've been on the sidelines for. And that is 2017. The Saints don't come here a lot. We know that. They don't come here a lot. And when they did come here in 2017, it was Sean McDermott's first year. We remember that, right? The Saints come here. They beat the Bills 44-10 in that game. 44-10. It was just not a good day for the Bills. But the reason why it was notable to me, 47-10, I'm sorry, not 44. I cheated them out of a field goal there, even though they won by a bunch. 47-10. The reason why this game was so notable to me, this was the final start, until he started again, for Tyrod Taylor, before the Bills benched him for Nathan Peterman. So that was the last time the Saints came to town. 2017, it was November 12th, 2017. This is Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, Drew Brees is the quarterback, and the Saints just run all over the Bills. The Bills have no answer for their run game. The Saints ran 48 times for 298 yards and six touchdowns in this game. Yes, six touchdowns. New Orleans did not throw a touchdown pass on 47 points. Boy, that's got to go back in the NFL record books to see how many times that's happened. The Bills actually started off the game with a field goal. They were up 3-0. Bills are up 3-0 in this game. And then the Saints rolled off 47 straight points before the Bills scored late in the game on a Nick O'Leary catch from Nathan Peterman. Peterman starts the next week. That's why this is the notable game, what I'm saying. The next week is Peterman in LA against the Chargers, and we all know how that went, right? Or didn't go. Bills get blown out in that one. Nathan Peterman throwing the ball to the other team. Turnovers everywhere. So, let me just see the Bills season that year and go to that year. This is 2017. At the LA Chargers, 54-24. Remember, the Bills started that year 5-2. They lose at the Jets on a Thursday night. They come home and lose to the Saints. Then they go to LA. So they lose that game against LA. And then what do the Bills do? They go back to Tyrod and he wins at Kansas City. Remember that? And the Bills eventually break the drought that year. What a wild year that was, 2017. It's crazy to think about. But that's what I remember about the Saints coming to Buffalo. And maybe you have different memories about Saints Bills. You can share them here at 803-0550. Let's go all the way back to the first time the Saints played here in Buffalo. 1983. It was actually the day before Halloween, 1983. So I was about to get on my... What was I... Ooh, I wonder what costume I was wearing as 10-year-old in 1983. What would you wear as a Halloween costume as a 10-year-old, Dan? Like, think about that. Back to when you were 10.
I was always a video game guy.
Ooh, okay.
So I go Yoshi or something from Mario.
All right. Oh, my son has done that. He's had the big blow-up thing where he's got Yoshi. Like, he's done that for sure. Don't remember. I went as a robot one year, a ghost one year. I think I went as Santa Claus one year. It's Halloween. Yeah, I know. I went as Santa Claus costume, so I put it on. I'm going to Halloween, and everybody would say, "Don't you know you're a few months early?" Of course I do. But I'm Santa today. I'd wear my... that was the big one. Like, if I didn't know what to do, I just put on my football equipment. Tackle football player. I'm just a football player.
Oh, yeah. Just that's the easiest stuff to go as. Exactly, you have it around the house. You're just like, okay. Yeah, I could do this year.
That's right. Just come home with candy anyway. It's all... That's the goal, baby. So, the day before Halloween, 1983, I was 10. And the Bills were playing the Saints, and I don't remember this game. But, like, specifically watching it. But the Bills win 22-20. That's the first time that the Saints came to Buffalo. And in this game, the Bills blew a 27-7 lead. They won 27-21, sorry. The Bills blew a 27-7 lead in the fourth quarter and almost lost the game. But the Saints came back. They get a touchdown, another touchdown. Quarterbacks in this game. Joe Ferguson for the Bills. 173 yards and four touchdowns. That's efficient. Dave Wilson and Ken Stabler played some quarterback for the Saints on this day. Dave Wilson had three TDs and threw an interception. So that's the first time the Saints ever came to the Bills. Now, there's been a good history, recent history, of the Bills playing in New Orleans because the Bills did win the last time the two teams played, and they turned the tables, beating them pretty handily 31-6. Remember that on Thanksgiving, just a few years ago. 31-6. But here in Buffalo, you had that 83 game, then it was downhill after that. It was downhill after that because the Saints come to Buffalo in 1989, and I believe this game was in the snow, if I remember right. Bills are, they have a better record. Saints come in. It's in the snow. It's like, all right, Bills should take care of business. They did not. Saints were up early in this game. 13-0 on the Bills at the end of the first quarter. Bills come back. They actually take the lead in the third quarter. Pete Metzelaars from Jim Kelly, 19-16. Then it's a Morton Anderson field goal to tie it up, and then a Morton Anderson field goal wins it for the Saints late. So the Bills lose that one, 22-19. The quarterback in that game for New Orleans, John Forcade. John Forcade beat Jim Kelly in Buffalo. Kelly did not have a good day. Statistically, 17 of 35, 211 yards, two TDs, three interceptions. Just a bad day overall for the Bills and Jim Kelly in the passing game. Good day for Europe, bad day for USA to start off the Ryder Cup. I'm watching right now. And every time USA makes a shot, doesn't matter. Europe just trumps it, and they have a better shot. Every time USA looks like they have a window, Europe closes it. Tough, tough start to the Ryder Cup for USA. But still a whole weekend to go. Still a whole afternoon to go today. We'll see how this all shakes out. I'm looking at the box score for that 89 game. I was a big Dalton Hilliard fan. I liked Dalton Hilliard a lot. I played, this is like my first year playing fantasy football, believe it or not. I started a fantasy football league in 1989 in my at school with my friends. I used to have to go to the USA Today or walk to the store to get the USA Today to write down the scores. We didn't have the internet and populated all these box scores for you. We did have Prodigy as an internet, if you remember that, but that was like I'd log on and you could get stats, but you had to still, they didn't populate for it. It wasn't like a fantasy football site you went to. This was in the very infancy of the internet. But anyway, so I'd walk to the store before school every Monday, every Tuesday, get the USA Today. I'd take it to homeroom. I'd do the stats. I remember Dalton Hilliard was like a big fantasy guy that year. And he was on that Saints team that played in Buffalo that day. 32 carries, 97 yards, did not score. So you didn't get much from him fantasy-wise, but that's what I remember about the Saints and the Bills in 1989. So that was the second time they came. So 83, 89, Bills win the first one, Saints win the second one, and then the Saints just beat the Bills pretty handily in 2001, although it was not handily at the end of the first half. Bills were winning 6-0. 2001. Remember this? This is the opener. In fact, so this is September 9th of 2001. This is 2 days before the September 11th attacks. The Saints are in Buffalo. Bills lead 6-0 at halftime. And then they go out in the second half, and Rob Johnson just continues to throw the ball to the other team three times. Three interceptions total. I don't know if we're in the second half, but he threw three interceptions. And Aaron Brooks is a good quarterback. He did some nice things. Like, he was fun to watch. Very good athlete. 18 of 29, he throws three touchdowns. Who are the guys he threw them to here? Let me see. Ricky Williams. Oh, Ricky Williams had a nice day on the ground, 93 yards. Albert Connell. Is it Connell, maybe? Cam Cleland. Oh, my God. These guys are beating the Bills. The Saints wind up winning this game. After they were down 6-0, they come back 24-6. They score 24 unanswered points. Jim Haslett was the coach of the Saints at the time. Former Buffalo Bills linebacker. And yeah, like I said, that was 2 days before the September 11th attacks. That was 2001. And that was the opener that year. I don't have my, let me see if I can get Dan to pull this up. Hold on. I'm going to grab my mouse here. Hold on. Let me figure this out. Dan, can you pull up line one? I'm going to go to Vince right now. Can you bring him up for me? Thank you. Sorry, I don't have my mouse to click that. Go ahead, Vince. You're on WGR. What's up?
Hey, Sal. You know, I was in Killarney, Ireland in October 2018 when Josh got injured and Peterman came in against Houston, threw a pick six, and then followed it up with another interception. And I stood up in the middle of the pub and I said, what the heck is going on? Because we were watching it on Red Zone in this pub in Ireland, and everybody looked at me like I had three heads.
Well, do you remember, though, he actually had a great pass to Zay Jones for a touchdown in that game, Peterman.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And then obviously, yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously we all remember the Nathan Peterman era is not very fondly here in Buffalo. I'll say this, though. I was right on Nathan Peterman on my assessment coming out of college when I said, and I wrote this, I don't think he'll ever be a franchise QB, but I think he'll play a long time in the league. He did. Nathan Peterman played a long time in the NFL. In fact, let me see. Hold on. I'm going to look at right now. I don't think he's there now. I don't think he's playing anymore. There we go. No, 23 was his last year, but long time. I mean, Nathan Peterman played, okay, long time. I guess that's up to interpretation. He played 6 years. All right. But he played 6 years in the NFL despite what happened the way it started for him.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
Let's go to Butch on the east side. What's going on, my man?
My brother, I love you, man. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I love MSG. I love WGR. And to all the fans who listen and watch this radio show, I love each and every one of you. Hey, Sal, you know, I really wanted to just say this real fast. Two things, really. I want the Buffalo Bills with Maxwell Harrison just to go ahead and just let him sit for the rest of the year. Just keep him on IR. Reason being is this. This kid came out of Memphis, you know, with the speed of running 4.2. He can stick with you like glue. He's like a fly. He's like a mosquito. Right now, he's coming back on track. I don't want him to come back this year not thinking and not reacting. I just want him to be free. So what I would like Buffalo to do is make that decision. Let's let him be on IR. We go with what we have for the rest of the season. We get a Super Bowl ring here, get a Super Bowl ring being in this position. And then next year he can come back playing free, knowing the playbook, and just being who we drafted him to be. That's number one. Number two is, Sal, this is a New Orleans game. I was talking to Brownie and Steve yesterday and near the end, and I really hinted that I think the New Orleans Saints, this game is bigger than what we make it, not just based off of not winning and losing. I really believe in the next few weeks they're going to be a trade partner with us going down the line. I can see, you know, when these two guys, our two D linemen come back, we will have two open spots. Like I told Brownie and like I told Steve, I look at Ed Oliver, I look at A.G. Epineza, I look at a Milano, I look at maybe a Hamlin, I look at a Curtis Samuel. It's possibility some of these players that Brandon Bean might move to go ahead and clear up money, number one.
They're not trading most of those players you mentioned. I mean, maybe A.G. Epineza, they're not trading Ed Oliver, they're not trading Matt Milano. All those salaries are guaranteed, by the way, since they were on the week one roster, so you're not really clearing much money up.
No, I'm just saying I just use it for a reason being is before the last game because we got 12 defensive linemen. Some defensive linemen are not going to keep 12 on his roster. Like I said, I hope that they don't, but I'm just saying this. I just really believe the New Orleans Saints, it might be a trade partner moving forward. But thanks for taking
my call. I think, Butch, the other way. I think maybe the Saints will be dumping players. They're not going to be acquiring. Why would the Saints want a Matt Milano or Ed Oliver? They're not going to win much. The other way could be true. I thought you were going to go that way, which is maybe the Saints start trading players, like a Chris Olave, someone like that. Like, that's how the Saints are going to be traded. The Saints aren't going to be acquiring players at the trade deadline. They're not trying to win. Why would they do that? The Saints are going to maybe trade players at the trade deadline. I could see that. So I agree with you. I just think it's the opposite.
Yeah, but I understand that. You know what I mean? It's a trade partner like what you just said.
Sure. Yeah, but the Bills aren't going to be trading them, those players. By the way, real quick, Kentucky is where Max Hurston went.
Okay, you're right, Kentucky. Thanks a lot, man. But I love you, man. Kiss the queen. Give my nephew a high five for me. I love talking to you.
You got it, Butch. Thanks. Have a great weekend. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Yeah, the challenge is, again, they're going to have their ears pinned back. They want to win as badly as anybody in the league right now, and there's no easy games in this league. They're going to come out. They're going to have their best shot, and we got to figure out how to stop that and adjust accordingly during the game. But they got a front that's really good. They got some DBs that can make some plays on the ball, and you know, I think they're playing a lot better than their score. And I know last week kind of got out of hand early on, but the first 2 weeks, I mean, they're playing really good football, so we got to be prepared for anything.
Josh Allen on the New Orleans Saints. Yeah, the Bills are a big favorite in this game. And, of course, with that comes maybe overlooking a team sometimes. I think one of the really good things about this Bills regime is they don't generally do that. Yes, they laid an egg against the Jacksonville Jaguars a few years ago. No doubt. That was a game they should have won. They did not. But generally, when the Bills are a big favorite, they do take care of business. And you hope they do that Sunday at 1 o'clock here in Orchard Park. Joining me on the Wester Hotline right now. Yes, it is a Buffalo Football Friday. But I think maybe he wants to take a little break from watching the Americans get beaten down pretty good here at Bethpage because that's what's happening. Brian Cozio, he is at the Ryder Cup. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I'm good, Sal. It is turned into an absolutely gorgeous day. Blue skies.
Yeah.
I'm actually right now, right behind the first tee in the 18th green, taking in the golf on the huge screen. It's been another bad start for the U.S. They tend to play really poorly in this format lately, and it's trending in that direction too, that they're going to be in a hole here going into the second session this afternoon.
Yeah, so we do have one final, and that is John Rahm and Hatton have defeated Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Thomas, and that means that they're up now after that match. They've won that match, and the U.S. is trailing by 4 in the Scheffler match, by 5 with Morikawa against McIlroy and Fleetwood, and Harris English with Morikawa. But they are up with Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay. They're up in their match, 2 up over McIntyre and Hovland. Okay, I have a question for you. This might sound stupid, but I think a lot of people might be wondering, and I am as well. When you score it, when you see at the end what the points are, is it just, do they get 1 point for winning the match they just won, or do they get the number of points with the holes they won by?
So it's just, it's 1 point per match. So
okay.
Whether you win by 9 holes or 1, or you win on the last hole, it's still just worth 1. So this morning there's 4 points up for grabs, And it looks like the McIlroy-Fleetwood match just ended now, too. So Europe is up 2-0. They obviously, you know, if the leads hold that you just mentioned, it looks like it could be 3-1 Europe here after the first session. Then there'll be another 4 points this afternoon. They change formats. They go to a ball. They go to a format called four ball, which is essentially best ball. So just to explain that real quick, all four balls are in play, two U.S. players, two European players. And Sal, if you and I are partners and you get a four and I get a five, the four counts for the team.
Yep.
So that's kind of how that works. So where this morning it was alternate shot, you hit the tee shot, I hit the next shot, you hit the putt, and so on, and then we switch the order on the next hole. This one goes to four ball. It allows players to be a little bit more aggressive. It tends to maybe be a little bit more exciting of a format because usually you have the first guy kind of play what is the safer shot, and then the other, you know, the second guy going, hey, if you're in a good spot, I'm going to take a more aggressive line or something like that. We saw Bryson cut the corner on the first hole. Just tremendous. Now that I'm standing behind one and seeing the angle that he took, pretty crazy that he went over all these trees and got, you know, I thought it was a good start for the U.S. Bryson drives it almost to the green. They win the first hole. I think that's what Keegan Bradley was looking for by putting Bryson out first, but pretty much the rest of the way, the European pair dominated in that match.
Do we know the pairings and for the afternoon, how that works?
Not yet. Usually, right about at the conclusion of the morning session,
okay,
they will go ahead and announce. So right now, I'm sure that all the vice captains and Keegan Bradley are probably talking to make sure they have what they want. I'm sure especially because the U.S. likely here is going to be trailing. Well, they will be trailing for sure here, it looks like, that you're going to see some of the guys that didn't play in the first session, like J.J. Spawn you're going to see, maybe Sam Burns you're going to see, Cam Young you're going to see. I was really surprised a guy like Spawn didn't play. Cam Young had been playing very well down the stretch. He didn't play. I know Spawn would be labeled as a rookie. Maybe they wanted to ease him in, not put him, you know, out there right away with the pressure. But some of the bigger names for the U.S., like Morikawa, Shoffley, even Justin Thomas has been hot and cold. These guys have not been playing their best golf. And I understand they've got name recognition. They've won major championships. And maybe Keegan, you know, valued the fact that you know, it's a high-pressure moment here. You're starting the Ryder Cup. He wants his guys that have maybe handled the big stage really well. It still, to me, looked like they played like they did during the PGA Tour season, which was kind of, for their standards, mediocre. So I think we're going to see a big shakeup in the U.S. lineup. For Europe, my guess is they're going to throw McIlroy and Fleetwood right back out there again, and maybe they'll do the same with Rahm and Hatton because they were so successful in the first session here this morning.
So you can decide afterward, right? It's not something that has to be predetermined, but we just don't hear the announcement until later, right? Like, they can literally, the captains can kind of change their mind, so to speak, right?
Yes. So they're out there watching. And then, you know, there's the assistant captains. Usually they put at least one assistant captain walking with each match so that they can communicate with Keegan Bradley, who's kind of bouncing around on the cart and, you know, kind of saying like, hey, this guy's doing well with this or not doing well with this, or, hey, you know, should we think about changing this up, that kind of thing. So also you got to take in the physical piece of it too. Like, is going right back out to play another potential 18-hole round, is that something that they feel like with the older players, do they want to, you know, think about adjusting to? I think for the U.S., I mean, to me, there's only probably two players that are no-brainers that are going back out. It's DeChambeau and it's Scheffler. The rest of them, I feel like I could have an argument that any of them could be switched in and out. I guess if Shoffley and Cantlay hold on to their match, they're up 2 here through 12, then you might put those two back out again, and you might put them last again, so they can get as much rest as possible in between.
I could make the argument, too. It's not necessarily that they're playing poorly, any of these guys, but Europe's just on fire right now watching these guys.
Yeah, Team Europe, just for whatever reason in this format, they so much value.
We're okay here, right, sir?
So much value. They are so good at making these putts. Like,
yeah.
Super, super tremendous with it. And they're clutch. Every time the U.S. hits a good shot, we're thinking like, uh-oh, this is the spot right here maybe where they can get it done. You know, then they end up missing a putt. We saw that quite a bit on these early holes.
Ryan, give us a little picture of what it's like there, the crowd, the atmosphere, the setup, everything.
So I would say the crowd to me is mostly on what is the main entrance side of the course, holes 1, 15, 16, 17, 18, because it's a decent walk to cross the road the after you hole one, it goes to another side of the road. It's a decent walk over there. It's a little quieter on that side of the course. All of the merchandise, the concessions, kind of the buzz around the clubhouse is over by where I am right now, this 1T18 green area. To be honest, I thought it would be louder, but I can understand why it's not. I mean, Europe, other than one match, has really been in control. So it's a little quieter. I know it's early morning. I know people are still trying to get in. And also having the president coming in here too, there's extra security lines. So there's extra things. Like I had to go through an area where the Secret Service kind of wanded me down and all that sort of stuff because I was coming to the first green for the first T18 green area, because that's where they're going to have the president coming in here a little bit later to take in this afternoon wave that's going to be teeing off in just a little bit.
And real quickly, just as I've seen on TV some, you know, European fans, obviously, but I would guess, I mean, what, overwhelmingly American, of course, but what about the European fans? Did they are there enough there to kind of make some noise and get their team going a little bit?
Yeah, and I think you'll see probably throughout social media pictures of them wearing their bright yellow and royal blue. But I would say, if you asked me, 19 out of 20 are wearing red, white, and blue.
By the way, Auberg and Fitzpatrick just won on a monster putt they just hit. One of them, I couldn't tell who hit it. 5-3, so they've also just won.
So, yep, and I'm just seeing it on the Jumbotron here now. It's 5-3, so now
Man.
It's 3-0.
Wow.
3-0. So, I mean, the U.S. has to get this last match.
Yeah.
They're still... But they're on the 13th hole, 14th hole right now. So, I mean, there's still a little time, but I mean, the U.S. has to win this.
How many points up for grabs in the afternoon? Another four?
Another four, yeah. So, 2 years ago, when the Ryder Cup was last held in Rome, Europe went 4-0 to start, and it really, like, set the tone. It felt like the U.S. was just behind the eight ball the entire time here. And it's trending towards maybe 3-1. I mean, obviously, that's the best-case scenario for the U.S. right now, that they could only be down two here. And then maybe they hope to flip the script in the afternoon. Maybe they can go 3-1 and tie it up going into tomorrow.
Hey, make sure you get back here because the Sabres were 2-0 in the preseason when you were here. And then, you know, they lose a game when you leave. You know what I mean, pal?
I know. I saw the shot totals and Derek, who was filling in, was texting me a little. He's like, Brian, what's going on here? I'm like, uh-oh. But preseason, and their lineup was definitely not
their
strongest of even compared to the first two. So.
Yeah, well, listen, it's going to be, I think we're in for a bit of a fun ride. And, of course, the home opener coming up on October 9th. Saints-Bills this weekend. Real quick, I was talking about some Bills-Saints memories. Remember the 2017 game? The Saints just came in here and just ran all over the Bills. And the next week, Nathan Peterman started.
Wow. That is a name from the past for sure.
Yeah. All right,
but
hey, listen, we're going to let you go. Do your thing. I appreciate your time today. Enjoy the rest of the Ryder Cup, you and Jack, and have some time and a good time in New York, buddy.
Awesome. Thanks, Sal.
Yeah, you got it. All right, Brian Colzio there, and appreciate his time. I know he's got things going on there. He's standing on the 18th, and he's talking. It's a golf match, and you got to be careful there. But in the meantime, man, 3-0. Europe's already up on the United States. Got to win this last match to go 3-1. 4 points available this afternoon as well. We'll be keeping an eye on that. We'll be keeping an eye on the weather. Brian said it's beautiful in New York. It's going to be beautiful here in Buffalo, I think, this weekend. Pat Hammer is going to join us at 11 a.m. Just after that, Sean McDermott at 11:20. That's the plan right now. We'll keep you updated on when the Bills head coach will be on, but just be ready. Could happen at any time. We're being told maybe around 11:15 to 11:30, somewhere in there. So be ready for that. We'll take a timeout. Steve, stay with me. I'll get to you as soon as I come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, thanks for hanging with me, Steve. I know you've been holding on for a while. Appreciate it, buddy. So go ahead, Steve in the Southern Tier on WGR.
So I was in the Southern Tier. I'm in Erie County now. Anyway,
I'm sorry about that, buddy.
That's quite all right. It's, you know, I got bumped by the Ryder Cup. But,
yeah.
I'm wondering about the defensive backs. Didn't the Bills play a big nickel?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.
That was an extra safety they brought on the field, but now they have Taron Johnson more. I'm worried Taron Johnson's going to break down this season, but I'm encouraged that we got Dorian Strong to replace him, maybe Hancock to come in at safety. And a second question, do you think the Bills, when Hoyt comes back, might go with four linemen and bring Hoyt almost in as a linebacker? Because they've been going more 4-3, but really almost giving five guys up front.
Yeah, I think this all ties together, actually, Steve, to be honest with you. And as far as Taron is concerned, they've been taking him off the field a little bit more, I think, this year. You know, you go against teams like the Ravens who want to big body you and, you know, really kind of play bully ball a little bit with their running game. That's been happening. So I think that, you know, they have kind of morphed a little bit more towards the big nickel, and that actually has been Shaq Thompson a little bit. You know, Shaq Thompson, he played for Sean McDermott, first round pick back in Carolina, comes to the Bills, and he's actually been on the field and playing that extra linebacker role for them once in a while. So I think that's the guy. And Dorian Williams, he can, but he's kind of more just the backup for Matt Milano right now. If you look at Shaq Thompson, he was inactive. He played 21 snaps last game against the Miami Dolphins. Let me just look real quick. DB Taron Johnson played 40. So, I mean, really, you're talking 40 to 20. That's a pretty good hefty amount that Taron came off the field. Taron only played 40 of 61 snaps, and of those 21 he missed, every one of them was Shaq Thompson. So I think to answer your first question, you're seeing Shaq Thompson specifically come in for Taron Johnson. You know what I mean? Like, that's the guy that they're doing that with, and he is a big nickel type of player when they want to go with that. I think the ties into your Hoyt question and point. When Michael Hoyt comes back, I am super curious what they do with him. He can put his hand down. He can play on the edge. He can play linebacker off the ball. How do they want to employ him? What they're doing now, Steve, is on third downs, on passing downs, they're kicking Javon Solomon inside, and he's more of the pass rusher. I think that's Michael Hoyt on passing downs, and then you can stand him up on running downs and have him move around, kind of like Lorenzo Alexander back in the day, if you remember that.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, you got it. I hope that helped. It's a really good point and question. I'm glad he brought it up because the Bills have kind of gone back a little bit more to the big nickel now. Shaq Thompson did not play in week one against Baltimore. He was inactive against the Jets, so not a good example there for the first 2 weeks because he had been dealing with an injury. But let's take a look at what happened in the Miami game. 61 defensive snaps. Taron Johnson was on the field for 40 of them. That leaves 21. Every one of them, Shaq Thompson was. It was a one-for-one replacement. When Miami went with heavy personnel, Taron comes off, Shaq Thompson goes on. I think you're going to see that a lot more this year because teams are starting to come back to playing more 12 personnel. That's two tight ends, or even 13, or a fullback. And then you want to get those heavier guys, those bigger guys, and that's kind of what Shaq Thompson is and what he's been. So that's where I think that goes. And I don't know how they work the roster out with Michael Hoyt when he comes back, but I think he's a really, really, really big piece. I think Michael Hoyt, I was so impressed with him in the preseason and in camp, and I think he's just going to be a real big part of and boost, hopefully, to the Buffalo Bills defense. Good call. Thanks for holding, Steve. I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you listening and all of you as well. We'll get to the second hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Pat Hammer's going to join me after this timeout. We'll do a weather check for Sunday and this weekend. And then Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, during the next segment, hopefully, we'll be talking with him. But be aware, he'll be on here during the show at some point. He's got other duties going on, some other production meetings, things like that. So as soon as he's ready, we'll get you to him.
get him to you, and we'll talk about the injury situation with the Buffalo Bills and the New Orleans Saints. Thanks for being with me here on a Buffalo Football Friday.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
Look at that. Top billing at 11 a.m. Pat Hammer going to join us here in the Wester Hotline. Let me just kind of do some house cleaning here before we bring Pat in to talk about the weather. Of course, it is a Buffalo Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the eights, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Sean McDermott's going to join us here during this hour. Make sure you're ready for that because we're going to talk injuries for the Bills and the Saints on Sunday. And of course, it should be, it looks like, I think, a beautiful day in Orchard Park. And that's where Pat Hammer comes in. WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist. Am I right? Is it going to be a beautiful day on Sunday for a 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon game?
Hey, well, first of all, I appreciate the coach adjusting his schedule around my busy schedule.
I love it. Yeah,
so, you know, you got normally it. He gets top billing at 11. yes, the weather looks absolutely spectacular. Again, this Sunday, what could be the second to last final 1 o'clock Sunday game at home this season, right?
It's crazy.
That's only one more. In November, so we covet these, and the weather looks.
I would guess the last game of the year against the Jets will be 1 o'clock, but they could move it to 4 or something like that. I mean, you never know. It's the final game. Maybe they want a little more TV exposure for that. The networks, you know, final game at Highmark Stadium or at least regular season, red helmets. That being it as it may, you're right. It's very rare to have this situation to have a 1 o'clock Sunday home game. By the way.
Oh, I know. I just couldn't believe just looking at the rest of the schedule. There's one more, and then a lot of these odd 4:25 starts coming up. But, yeah, this is a beautiful Sunday getting ready for what should be an epic weather day. Kind of like, you know, recently the last couple of games. You know, it's just been nice. We've got sunshine all day Saturday, Sunday. The temperatures look very comfortable. Kicking off at 1 o'clock in the low to mid-70s, light winds, very little cloud cover. Just elite weather for Sunday, for the game, for tailgating, and everything in between. So, it looks great, which, by the way, you know, as you're one of your official Bills archivists, looking back at pre-Saints visits here, and as you know, there's only been 4, this is the last time the weather was actually decent for one of their games here in Orchard Park.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they have come to Buffalo only 5 times, and by the way, they're 4-1, and they've kind of really beaten the Bills pretty badly in a lot of those games. I did it yesterday. I did the numbers, Pat. This is crazy.
Okay.
So the Bills won in 1983, the first time the Saints came here. Okay.
And
since
it was cloudy
then,
and cold.
Oh well, there you go. And it was a win for the Bills that day. But unlike the other games, so the Saints then have come here 4 times since and have beaten the Bills 120-42.
That's insane. I mean, this is a team. Growing up, I remember the old images of them, of Saints fans in New Orleans wearing lunch kits over their paper bags over their heads, and they were called the New Orleans Aints.
The Aints. Yeah, the Aints, right? They had a history of not winning, and then, of course, they get Drew Brees. Everything changes.
Yeah.
They win a Super Bowl in here, not unlike the Buffalo Bills with, you know, Josh Allen and where they are right now and, of course, don't have the Lombardi yet. That's hopefully something that, you know, the Bills can have maybe even this year. But the Bills, obviously, getting Jim Kelly, everything changed. And then Jim Kelly even loses to John Forcade. They were the quarterbacks in 1989. How about that one?
Oh, my God. That's great. Yeah, in 89, that was a cold game as well, December 10th. It was cold with light snow, so the weather wasn't great for that visit. Of course, as you know, you mentioned they played in 2001, just before 9/11. It was a very hot day. If you remember that weather pattern, that week was very hot and sunny. So it was kind of the high that day for the game was, I think, 90 degrees. So that was hot. And then 2017, of course, it was cold with light snow for that game against the Saints. So they haven't really played a nice Highmark or Orchard Park game ever, weather-wise.
Pat Hammer on the Wester Hotline. I am actually peeking already to the Sunday night game, the rivalry jersey game, against the New England Patriots in 9 days from now. I don't know what you could tell us about how everything's kind of looking a little bit more long range without obviously pinning yourself in a corner and being specific. What are we looking at maybe over the next week or so?
I took a look at that, and there's kind of a wrench in the system for that forecast, and that is you're going to be hearing about it if you haven't already, but there's going to be a tropical system heading towards potentially the Carolinas this coming week. Mm-hmm. It could be a hurricane, actually. Wow. This would be early in the week. And whenever you get a tropical storm hurricane, you know, in the short-term weather pattern, it eventually affects the long-term weather pattern, depending on what it does. So to give you an accurate forecast for the end of next week or next weekend, it really is dictates it's dictated by what this tropical system does. So it's really too hard to tell. If this thing kind of spins and rains itself out over the Carolinas, that means one thing for next weekend. If it actually starts moving north, we could see effects from it next weekend around here. Mm-hmm. So it's a little too early to say. I know one thing, it won't be cold. Let's rule that out.
Okay.
But right now it's a little too early to pinpoint next Sunday. You know, one solution has it beautiful. Another solution kind of doesn't. So we have to really watch what happens with this tropical system in the Atlantic next week and how it behaves.
Is this a big hurricane? What are we looking at here?
I don't know. It's kind of a weird. There are two tropical systems that are going to kind of form and kind of dance around each other, if you will, in the Atlantic. And it's got the potential of spinning over Myrtle Beach and those areas next week. And it could be a big rain producer this coming week. So that is something we're going to watch. The track is so uncertain right now because you have two systems that are going to a dance party together. And does one leave the dance floor or does one hang out? You know, I mean, it's just as kind of a way to look at it. It's really too hard to say what's going to play out. But if you have any interest down there, keep focused on the Carolinas this week.
All right, let's get a little more specific on Sunday. Drive into the stadium, kickoff time, temperatures, wind, anything else?
Yeah, temperatures, I mean, just ideal. As I mentioned, you're going to wake up. It's going to be a beautiful morning. Temperatures in the upper 50s, low 60s. It's going to be sunny all day. We've got light winds, so tailgating conditions are perfect. And, we're going to be in the 70s for kickoff and through the end of the game. No big temperature change or weather pattern change during the game. So hopefully, weather doesn't play an impact at all. Enjoy. I mean, it's just...
Any chance of 80 degrees?
God, thank you. Yes, 80 is a possibility.
Okay.
100%. 80 is within reach. So I wouldn't be surprised. We've had so many of those this summer in fall season. 80-degree weather is within reach on Sunday, yes.
It is also within reach, I think, at the Ryder Cup being played at Bethpage. Yeah. Looks like a beautiful weekend and close to, if not in the 80s, actually.
Yeah, my coworker is there, Melissa Holmes. She took her son to see the practice round.
Oh, okay. Oh, so Brian Colzio is there as well. And
I heard, yes.
Yeah.
And she reports, much like his, just how beautiful that course is. And just looking at it just looks incredibly hard with those sand traps and everything. But, the weather out there is going to be equally as nice for the Ryder Cup for sure.
I love that. Yeah, for sure. And I know both Melissa and Brian brought their children and their boys to the Ryder Cup. So that's a great experience. And, of course, Elliot's a fantastic golfer. So is Jack. Right. He's a little bit older. But, I mean, how cool is that for them to experience? You know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, he is, these are his heroes. He's able to approach them, talk to them, get autographs. And what a special moment to do that. And it's not very far away. So, it's great that worked out. So,
all right, buddy.
It's been awesome out there.
Well, listen, I'm going to clear the line here because Sean McDermott is going to call at some point here, but we'll give him a good weather report for you. Okay, how's that sound?
Say hello to him for me, please.
You got it. Pat Hammer. Thanks a lot, bud. We'll talk next week.
All right.
You got it. That is Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist, and we have not heard. Okay. I'm just gotta do a little texting here, so everybody knows that we're cleared here when Sean McDermott is ready to rock and roll. But he's got some things going on. The Bills will actually have a practice today. And then they'll also he'll be meeting with the Buffalo media independently of this radio show after he comes on here on WGR Sports Radio 550. All right, want to take a look at the NFL, play some NFL music, and look around the league. And we'll start with last night, because we like to do this on a Friday, a Buffalo Football Friday, here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Talked about the Saints and the Bills a little bit with the historical perspective. How about some history with the Seahawks and Cardinals? I believe it's 8 straight games now the Seahawks beat the Cardinals. I think I read that, Dan. I think that's what it is. It's crazy. They kind of own them pretty much. And it's kind of, the Bills have really taken care of business against several teams, Jets and Dolphins, but there's been a win here or win there. But Seahawks, they beat the Cardinals last night. By the way,
they had the Cardinals beaten. And then they made a couple mistakes. Cardinals come back. They storm back. They tie the game. A lot of people are like, go for two, go for two. They make it 20. They make it. It was 2019. They decide to kick the extra point to make it 2020. Did you watch the game, Dan? Did you see how it ended?
I did, yeah. The game-winning field goal.
Yeah, but Myers. The mistake was the kickoff.
Oh yeah, the kick.
How do you make that mistake?
No, Sal. What's the funniest thing is that Seattle has now won their past two games.
Yes.
By that rule of
the
kick not making the landing zone. It's insane.
I love it. I love it because I think that it's really showing how much the changes. I read a lot of my colleagues last night going, I hate these kickoff rules. They change so much. I love them. I think it makes it exciting that you have to pay attention and do things right. Be buttoned up. Be detailed, man. Like, that's what football's about. That's what sports are about. I'm not going to complain. All right? I like that. So, Seahawks win last night. We have a game Sunday morning in Dublin, Ireland. Vikings-Steelers, 9:30 a.m. You all about this Dublin stuff or what?
I don't like to wake up early. That's not a new thing.
You're producing the morning show right now. Is that going okay for you?
It's working. It's working. Sometimes I gotta get. I have a trusted like pop with me every morning.
All right, there you go. Vikings at Steelers, 9:30 a.m. on a Sunday. Vikings and Steelers, both 2-1. We'll see kind of where these teams are. I think Steelers, people think they won a little fluky last week because of all of the turnovers they got from New England. Vikings play a Joe Burrow-less Cincinnati Bengals team last week. I mean, if you're the Bills, I think there's a case to be made to root for the Steelers because you want them to win the division, right, over the Ravens. Or maybe you don't because you want the Ravens to be a wild card. I don't know. I just think that anytime an NFC team plays an AFC team, root for the NFC team. But 9:30 a.m. All right, Commanders are at Falcons, and both these teams right now, not as maybe playing as good a football as they had hoped at this point, but the Commanders, we'll see about Jaden Daniels, what his situation is. Falcons, they get shut out last week, and they have scored 42 points in three games. That's it. 20-22 and nothing last week against the Carolina Panthers. So they're looking to get off the mat. They're at home. Washington at Atlanta at 1 o'clock. Browns are in Detroit to take on the Detroit Lions. Now, the Browns have an excellent, excellent defense, and that's a big reason why they were able to beat the Green Bay Packers last week, 13-10. But now they go against a different animal, no pun intended, because it's a lion and it's a real animal. Didn't even think about that when I said it, but it came out of my mouth. Different animal, the Lions. The Packers weren't an animal at all, but the Lions' offense can be for sure, and their defense can be, and they beat the Ravens 38-30 last week. And that was a game that a lot of people were very dialed into with the Bills, but if you haven't seen the Browns' defense, it's good, folks. The Browns' defense is good, and they have a chance to try and even their record at 2-2. Their offense isn't so good. They have to play some low-scoring games. That's going to be tough to do against the Detroit Lions. 1-2, Cleveland at 2-1, Detroit. How about a pair of 0-3 teams? One of them, not surprising at 0-3, Tennessee Titans. They had the first pick in the draft. They draft Cam Ward. They're resetting a little bit here. I'm not really so sure about their coach. The other, bit of a surprise at 0-3, right? The Houston Texans, C.J. Stroud. What has happened to him? Now, the Texans, I will say, I know they're 0-3, but they've lost three one-score games. 14-9 at the Rams, 20-19 at home against the Buccaneers, 17-10 at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they seem to make mistakes late in games that are hurting them. Now they get the Titans. I think the Texans should beat the Titans. But man, after that, they go to Baltimore before their bye week. Then they go to Seattle. I mean, they have a tough schedule. Texans need to start winning. I just don't know what happened to C.J. Stroud. I know a lot of people say, a lot of you have told me, he was never that good in the first place. I don't buy that. I mean, he threw for 4,300 yards, 4,100 yards, I think it was. 23 touchdowns his rookie year. I mean, maybe there's a little bit of luck involved with the, you know, balls that are put in harm's way that don't get intercepted or something like that. But I just don't think that you're not good when you do that your rookie year in the NFL. But things have gone south for him for sure. Panthers are at the Patriots. Panthers are an interesting team to watch here. Get to the Patriots in a second. But the Panthers, I mean, this is a team that they shut out the Atlanta Falcons last week 30-0. And I don't know if they're actually a lot better than what I thought, or maybe Atlanta's just not that good. But this is an interesting game because they're going to go to New England, a team that we thought would be a little better than what they've showed so far, but they've made some mistakes. They turned the ball over a lot last week against the Steelers. And now the Panthers go to New England. Now, New England, is 1-2. And they come to Buffalo next week, Sunday Night Football. That's the rivalry game, the Bills rivalry jerseys. So interesting game for both teams here because I'm really interested in who the Panthers are. And this might give us a little more indication because I'm not really sure after last week and what they did against Atlanta. Great game for them, though. Panthers 1-2 at the Patriots 1-2. Someone's dropping to 1-3 there. And if you're the Patriots, you can't afford to do that with the Bills on the horizon in this AFC East. The Giants have made a quarterback change. They're going to Jackson Dart. He will start at quarterback in place of Russell Wilson. Chargers go to New York. Now, the Giants' defense can be pretty good. I know that they gave up 40 to the Dallas Cowboys. Wasn't a good day there. They did a nice job against the Chiefs. They have a very good front four. They kept a low-scoring game against the Commanders, but their offense just has not been good enough. And yes, they scored 37 against Dallas. Russell Wilson went crazy, and then he turned into the other Russell Wilson. I mean, it's like two different quarterbacks sometimes with this guy. That's why the Giants have made the change. So the Giants are 0-3. They're trying to save their season, trying to save their jobs, right? Joe Shane at GM, Brian Daboll at head coach. Now they take on Justin Herbert, Jim Harbaugh, and the LA Chargers. And this is an interesting Chargers team who's already won 3 divisional games, folks. The Chargers are not only 3-0, they started with the Chiefs, beat them, the Raiders, beat them, and the Broncos, and beat them. They have now won 3 straight division games to start the year. You don't even get normally 3 division games scheduled to start the year, much less win them for any team in the NFL. Now they step outside the division. They go to the Giants. It is a cross-country trip. Now, if you know anything about teams on the West Coast, in the Pacific time zone, who travel east to play 1 o'clock games, it's not been great over the years. Like, historically, those teams struggle. You would hope maybe here, for the Bills, that the Giants can get a bit of a spark here from Jackson Dart, because the Chargers at 3-0 look to be a real threat here right now for the Bills' ultimate goal to get the 1 seed. Chargers 3-0 at Giants 0-3. How about 2 3-0 teams going at it? A 1 o'clock game in Tampa. 2 teams the Bills will play this year. One a little bit later, the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. The other in mid-November, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Both teams 3-0. Bucks win last week after they get that blocked kick, goes the other way by the Jets. Then they get the ball back, they go down, they kick their own field goal to win it. And the Eagles, of course, at 3-0 as well. 3-0 Eagles at 3-0 Buccaneers. We'll take a timeout from talking about the rest of the games to focus back on the Saints at the Bills, because Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me right now here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the Wester Hotline right now. Good morning, coach. Happy Friday to you. Always great to talk with you.
Good morning, Sal. Great to be with you guys. It's going to be a great weekend here. Great weather.
Yeah.
Man, the fans will be out. 1 o'clock game. We've got local sports. We got homecomings going on, man. Where else would you rather be than in Buffalo this weekend, right?
I love that energy. We need that energy at the Ryder Cup for the U.S. They're trailing now a little bit early. It's very cool, right? I don't know if you've ever watched or, you know, been a part of, you know, that scene at all, but man, I'm watching it this morning, coach. That is really cool to watch these guys and the pride they have for Europe or the Americans, and the fans showing up at Bethpage. Very, very cool to watch, and great weather over there too.
Love it, right? Love it. Go USA.
All right. Sean McDermott here on the Wester Hotline. By the way, Patrick Hammer did give us a great weather report. You're right. It's going to be close to 80 degrees, if not hitting 80 degrees on Sunday. A beautiful afternoon, a rare 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon game. So you got a question earlier this week, and I want to back it up and ask you, just explain to our audience, like, how much things have kind of changed a little bit over the years for you, going from so many 1 o'clock games earlier on, maybe in your coaching tenure, to so many like rare 1 o'clock games, I guess you'd say, because you're playing different nights and things like that. Like, how much do you have to kind of pre-plan how to work these days and times out with your staff?
Yeah, so quite a few different schedules, you know, week to week, based on the time that we play or the day that we play. And that's a good thing, right? It's a sign of success and successful programs and winning. That said, it does calls for a little bit of flexibility and adjustability through the course of the week. And, you know, our players more than anything are the ones that are affected just from the standpoint of, you know, their routines. And now we've got a Sunday 1 o'clock home game. 2 weeks ago, we had our first 1 o'clock game that was away. So, you know, I know it was 1 o'clock, but being home is different than being away, you know, in terms of how you get to the stadium and your routine. So all that we try and figure into our routines here.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, 1 o'clock Sunday, the New Orleans Saints come to town, and you guys have a few guys on the injury report that we'll get to now, and you can tell us any update on them. Spencer Brown, Matt Milano, and Ed Oliver have not practiced for a couple of days. Of course, two of them, Milano and Oliver, haven't played for a couple of weeks. What can you tell us about any of their status and AJ Epenesa as well?
Right. So Ed and Matt will both be out for this game, will not practice today. Spencer and AJ will be limited today and questionable for the game.
And will that be it for anybody on the injury report, Coach? Those are the four guys, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Anything now? We've seen Milano, you said last week maybe there was a chance he could practice. It hasn't happened. Neither him nor Ed have gone on IR. Where do things stand with both Matt and Ed maybe going into next week?
Well, again, it's not very clear. It's not clear, I should say, where they're going to be. I know they're both moving in the right direction. I just don't know if they'll be ready to go for sure by next weekend's game.
Okay, and then Maxwell Hairston. We finally saw him as a media out in the field doing some work. He's got a brace on, but he's working with the training staff. What have you seen from Max Hairston and his rehab, how he's approached that both mentally and physically?
Yeah, working extremely hard, moving in the right direction. The timetable is a little bit even more cloudy for that one just because of the uniqueness of the injury and, you know, just trying to take it slow and one day at a time pretty much. And he's moving around, and he's moving around better and better each day.
So I want to ask you about Terrell Bernard. He had the big interception, you know, in the fourth quarter against the Miami Dolphins. It seems like the ball just finds him in big moments and big spots. That's happened kind of since he's entered the starting lineup for your team. In fact, here's a stat. It's pretty amazing. Terrell Bernard himself, 11 takeaways since 2023. That's fourth most in the NFL, most of any linebacker since that time in the NFL. What is it about Terrell Bernard that he always seems to be around the football in key moments?
Instincts. You know, a lot of people want, you know, these guys that are all, you know, track, hey, they got 4.2 speed and this and that. And that's, believe me, speed's important. You want to be able to run faster than I run. So at the end of the day, you've got to have instincts, especially like at a position like linebacker, middle linebacker in particular, and he has them. And when the game makes sense, you can move and play the game faster than you know, a lot of people out there. And I think that's what you're seeing more than anything. He's got great instincts.
So far this year, Cole Bishop has played 100% of the snaps. You said repeatedly how important it was for him to get these reps. He's been getting the reps, even in a Jets game where some guys came out. He's been on the field. He's been playing. What have you seen about his growth ever since he's starting to get more reps?
He continues to grow in all phases. He's starting to understand, you know, the mindset you have to have, the level of preparation you have to have, the physicality, the nastiness you have to play with, and yet at the same time, you know, have enough poise to quarterback the defense and get us lined up.
Sean, you've had 10 days here to digest third down defense. It went really well against the Jets. The numbers weren't great against the Dolphins. You made a great point, though. 15 third downs forced is a good number. You want to get off the field a little bit more often, though. 10 out of 15 they converted. How does that work when you go back into the lab and you kind of take a look at things? You have 10 days to kind of re-examine everything. Where are you with that?
Well, we worked on it. We've put our collective heads together and tried to figure out, you know, why we were the way we were the other night. So not all of it was bad, but the results, if we're resulting here for a second, you're just looking at results and you're saying, hey, that you can't do that. You can't allow an offense to do that. And, you know, it kind of overshadowed what I thought was a good middle of the field, first and second down performance against a good offense that way. So, again, areas to grow, areas to improve. I'm looking forward to watching our defense this weekend.
All right, Coach, that defense is going to go in against a young quarterback in Spencer Rattler. I mean, I watch him. I think the kid's got a live arm. He's a good athlete. I mean, when he has the ball in his hands, he makes some things happen. What do you see from the young quarterback from the Saints?
Yeah, very similar. Good arm talent, mobile. Seems like he has good command of their offense, and they're doing some things. You know, when they do some no huddle.
Yep.
Or quite a bit of no huddle, where that's where we're going to need our fan base when they're trying to, hey, get up there, look at our defensive look, undress us. You know, we need our fan base to make it really hard for them to communicate. And they're getting a lot of the calls from the sideline into him, and he's changing calls based on what they're telling him to do. So we've got to make sure our 12th man takes over in those situations.
Yeah, and then on the other side of the ball, they're doing a really good job against the run, Coach. They are allowing 3.6 yards per carry. That's a really nice low number for a defense. What are the challenges against going against that front?
Well, they've got a good front, like you mentioned. So we've got to make sure we're doing a good job. The game always starts up front with the line of scrimmage and establishing the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. So that'll be key for us this Sunday.
Next time we talk, it'll be October. Have a great rest of your September. Good luck on Sunday. Thanks a lot. And, of course, Bills Mafia showing out will help a lot on Sunday. So thanks a lot, Coach.
Sounds great. Thanks. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott. Sunday at 1 p.m., the Bills take on the New Orleans Saints. Ed Oliver and Matt Milano both out for this game. Spencer Brown, AJ Epenesa, they will practice in some capacity today and be limited today, I should say. And then I'm guessing when it comes out, they'll be questionable for the game. Ed Oliver and Matt Milano, we'll see where they are next week. Moving in the right direction, Sean McDermott says. Same with Max Hairston. Let me talk a little bit about Max Hairston and some other guys who are the decisions coming up. So the Bills have this game coming Sunday, and then on Monday, there's some decisions coming up. And then in a couple more weeks, more decisions. So we'll get into all that in a minute. Let's kind of reset here. And I'll also run through the rest of the NFL schedule because we talked about most of the games, but a few more still to get to here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on the Buffalo Football Friday on WGR.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he goes to these reads quick. He's tucking and run. If he has to, they got his own read offense. You know, we're working on all those angles, and yeah, they got a good offense. Even though they lost last game, they got a solid offense. They've been in most of the games they played this year, so they're a smooth team, good offense, and we're ready for a challenge.
Robert McIntyre just went into the trap, which is good news for USA because it is now tied in that last match. USA has lost the first three matches of foursomes here, but there's one match still going on, and McIntyre and Hovland against Shoffley and Cantlay, and it's tied up, and they just went in the trap, the Europeans, McIntyre. So we'll keep you updated on that here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and a Buffalo Football Friday and a great sports weekend Friday for sure. Let's go to Aaron in Nashville. What's going on, Aaron?
Good morning, Sal. Happy Bills Friday. First of all, Ryder Cup needs to get it together. Second of all, I think we really want to see the Chiefs lose this game. The reality is the Baltimore Ravens have a more talented roster, and the Chiefs have been a thorn in the Bills' side for many years now. I think we're going to see the Chiefs possibly not make the playoffs with the resurgence of the Colts. There's a spot up for grabs. I'd rather take our chances with a new team to the playoff situation and hope that we either don't face the Ravens or continue to show that we can beat them on a consistent basis. But a playoff scenario without the Chiefs is a win for the Bills. Have a great weekend.
You got it. Thanks, Aaron. There's a lot of debate about that, no doubt. The math is the math, and however you want to slice it. And I said earlier, if you just count it, don't count half games. You could do that. It's 2.5 games. But let's just say, so right now, Ravens are 3 games behind the Bills. Chiefs are 2 games behind the Bills. A win by the Ravens would mean both teams are 3 games, assuming the Bills win. A win by the Chiefs would mean Ravens 4 games back, Chiefs 2 games back. And if maybe that's what you want. But there's also the personal aspect of it for a lot of you emotionally. I can't tell you how many people are like, no, screw the Chiefs. Want them to lose all the time. Doesn't matter. I get it. Totally get it. It's the way I kind of am with the Red Sox. But I had to root for them against the Blue Jays. It didn't work out. Not last night. Yankees win. Blue Jays win. They go to the final weekend tied, but the Yankees have to have a better record because head-to-head is the first tiebreaker, and the Blue Jays have that. So we have a fun baseball weekend as well this weekend, right? Oh, man. What is the – ooh, yeah, you know what? I'm going to look at the Major League schedule on Sunday. Is I'm guessing these games are all in the afternoon, right? Ooh, Orioles-Yankees at 3:05. What if it comes down to one last game, one last day? Orioles-Yankees at 3:05. Blue Jays, Orioles – Rays at 3:07. They're playing at the same time. Both 3 p.m. games. Bills will be done at 4. Okay. Got to figure out my Yankees viewing here. If it comes down to it, might not. I'll have post-game duty, so I'll probably be able to watch the last couple innings, maybe. Might even not even matter either way. We'll see. So Steve brought up the Ravens-Chiefs game. That is one we'll talk about here as we move on to our NFL schedule this weekend. Talk to you about a lot of games, and when Sean McDermott called in, we were talking about the Eagles and the Buccaneers. And the Eagles looking to go 4-0, Buccaneers looking to go 4-0, two undefeated teams. Baker Mayfield having a resurgence again. I really like, just love his game. Love seeing that he's being success, having success. They have won three games by a total of 6 points. Bucks. Now they get the Eagles, who've won three games by a total of 14 points. I mean, like, all close games here, but that's the NFL, right? That game is at 1 o'clock. That's a 1 o'clock game. 4:25, Colts at the Rams. Now, you want to see who the Colts really are? This might be the best. This is probably the best test they've had. They're at the Rams. They've played the Dolphins, the Broncos, and the Titans. Now they go West Coast, take on the Rams, a Rams team that feels like it should have won last week. Blew a lead against the Eagles. They'll be ready for this one. I think the Rams should beat the Colts. But if the Colts go to L.A. and win, I'm going to start taking them a lot more seriously. I'll tell you that. 3-1 Colts at 2-1. 3-0 Colts at 2-1 Rams. The Jags are at the 49ers. Did you hear what Robert Saleh said about the Jags? Did you hear that? Did you see that soundbite? Did you hear that about the signs and the stealing signs? He did not accuse them of stealing signs. He actually did, but said legally. He was not being hateful or spiteful or anything like that. He basically said he's now, again, the DC for San Fran after being there a while ago and then the head coach of the Jets. He said the Jags have a legal sign-stealing system.
Yeah.
And you have to be ready for it.
It's so odd.
Yeah, it was a weird thing, right? But that's, so he talked about it. So I haven't read the full articles. People have been writing about it, and I want to see about that. But the Jags are, I don't know, not, I can't take them super seriously yet because it doesn't seem like they're really playing well, but still winning. And I don't know, that's not a bad thing, right? But they're 2-1. They did lose to the Bengals, the game that Burrow got hurt, 31-27. But they've beaten the Panthers 26-10. They've beaten the Texans 17-10. But now it gets real for them. They have the Niners, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, and the Rams coming up. That's their next four games. We'll see about them. 49ers, they have, like, metrically the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. They do have the Jags, but then they got the Rams, the Bucks, Falcons, Texans, Giants. So they have an opportunity. But still, with a lot of injuries there. Now Nick Bosa out for the year, of course, with the torn ACL. We talked about Ravens, Chiefs. I said at the top of the show what I think about, you know, who should win. But just in the game itself, this is a Ravens team that's 1-2. Lamar Jackson still doing a very good job of not turning the ball over through the air. And of course, they have turned the ball over with Derrick Henry in the fumbles. We saw the one in Buffalo, saw another one last week. The Chiefs, they are really looking to get back on track offensively. They have not been able to. They've scored 21, 17, and 22 points in their three respective games. And now they get the Ravens, who have been allowing a lot of points. If the Chiefs can't move the ball on the Ravens, they may really have some issues here, but they are still a little bit banged up. We'll see if Xavier Worthy plays for them this week. Rashee Rice, of course, three more weeks on suspension. Bears at Raiders. Bears are 1-2, looking for a second straight win. Raiders are 1-2. Raiders are going to be this team where every once in a while they're going to get a win, but they're just, I don't think they're good enough. And they do have some games coming up where they have opportunity with the Bears. They do have the Colts and the Titans, but we'll see about them with Geno Smith at quarterback. It feels like they're just a little bit too erratic for me, and they can't run the ball with Jason Jensen's doing nothing. The Bears, they're scoring some points. They're going to play some wild games this year, the Bears. By the way, the Bears are off next week for the bye week. So this game is their last game before a bye, and they're looking to maintain and win again with Caleb Williams. Had a nice statistics, Caleb Williams, but obviously some throws that you look at and go, what was that? Packers are at the Cowboys, the return of Micah Parsons to Dallas. 2-1 Packers at 1-2 Cowboys. This is your Sunday night football game, everybody. And the Packers looking to get back on track after a bad loss last week at the Cleveland Browns. The Cowboys looking to get back on track after a bad loss, I'd say, against the Chicago Bears last week, 31-14. What happens on Sunday night football? Monday night, two games. We'll talk about those on Monday, but two that directly affect the Bills. All AFC teams. An AFC East matchup between the Jets and Dolphins at 7:15 Monday night, and then at 8:15, Bengals-Broncos. So two Monday night games, but not one at 8, one at 10, or one at 7, one at 10. These are 7:15 and 8:15. We'll talk about that on Monday. I told you I was going to tell you a little bit about and talk about the injuries for the Bills and how all that shapes up going forward. So let's do that after this time. Actually, you know what? Let's take Randy in North Tonawanda first so he doesn't wait. Hi, Randy. What's going on?
Hey, Sal. First and foremost, I just want to say I'm an alumni of Buffalo State football. And back in the day when you used to commentate every game, we went undefeated. So we always knew when you were up in the booth that we had a good shot to win. So
I love it.
Just throw that out there. But I'm looking at the betting market, and I just looked just yesterday, and it looked like the Bills were minus 2,000 for the division. Is that in all your years of doing this, is that some type of record up until this point? I've never seen odds that high at week four going into the season.
I'll hang
up and listen.
Yeah, I would imagine it is, but I don't know the specific answer to that, Randy. Thanks for the kind words. That would be a question for Sam Penjanovic or who's our other betting guy? Joe Ostrowski comes on with Show Up with the Bulldog, right? That'd be a question for them. We'll get Show Up with the Bulldog to ask. Maybe they have. Have they ever seen a favorite that big this early in an NFL season to win the division? Let me see what we have here. What do I have? Let's see. NFL futures. Let me just look. Futures market. AFC East. What do I have? Bills, this is championship, went championship. Let's go to the divisions. Do we have that here? Okay, we still have Super Bowl. Okay, hold on. I'm getting to it, folks, I promise. See if I can get this to the AFC East. No, I don't have that in front of me. All right, so he said minus 2,000. I'm trusting that's it. Here we go. AFC East odds. Oh, my God, yeah, 2,000. Actually, one place has a minus 3,000. That's crazy. Patriots are next up at plus 14 to 1,700, depending on where you look. Dolphins plus 1,000, 10,000, 10,000. Jets, 10,000. I'll have to ask Show Up with the Bulldog if they've asked Sam or Joe about that. They'll have to do that. Or Trista. All right, we'll take a timeout. Just kind of run through the decisions, what's coming up on the horizon for the Bills after Sunday's game against the Saints. We'll wrap up your Friday Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show after this. So you know that Maxwell Harrison, he's been rehabbing and he's eligible to come off injured reserve after this next game. That's on Monday next week. Up until, you know, whenever. They can just take him off injured reserve. So same thing with Tyler Bass. So, but neither of them have to, so everybody's aware here. The Bills could just keep either player on injured reserve as long as they feel. What has to happen, though, is once that player does practice in a practice, once they go on practice field, then they have 21 days to put him on the active roster. So let me kind of restate what I just said. When I said activate, I shouldn't have said it that way. They can start practicing, both of them, after Sunday's game at any point, whether that's next week, the week after, a month from now, it doesn't matter. Once they start practicing, the Bills have 21 days to put them on the active roster. Not three games, 21 days. Hard date. And once that happens, then you got to make roster decisions. And who's coming off the roster? Then you have guys that haven't been here 4 years get subject to waivers. They can be claimed and picked up. And there's a lot of things that have to be considered here. Now, one just kind of sidebar to this to be aware of is when Max Harrison was put on injured reserve, he was automatically declared as one of their IR to return people for the year. You get eight of those. The reason is because they put him on because of a special rule, the last day of cuts. You could do that with two guys. So that was one of them. The other was Tylon Grable. So the Bills actually already have used two of their IR to return designations. So either one of those guys, Tylon Grable is another guy. He can come back at any time. They've already used that. They only get eight. They've already used two, so they only get six more. If and when Tyler Bass comes back, that'll eat up another one because he's not already, he has not been put in the practice field, so he has not been IR to return yet. Once he gets on the practice field, he will be, and we expect that to happen. So you got to be kind of careful with all this. Now, there is one other player here that factors in. Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis is on the practice squad, but he's practice squad injured. The way that works is really the exact same as being on the regular roster injured reserve. So the Bills are able to keep a practice squad injured player as kind of an extra guy in the practice squad. You're allowed 17. They have 18. Let me just count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. He's the 18. There you go. 17 because they get an international guy. Okay, but he's an extra guy. He's not counting. Same thing with him. After 4 weeks, he can start practicing again. We don't know where he is health-wise. And the Bills will have to make that determination. So what happens when all these guys start, you know, getting healthy and coming back? And I just think that, look, it's a good, quote-unquote, problem to have, but you're going to have to make roster decisions at some point. I do not expect Max Harrison necessarily to start practicing next week, folks. Like, I don't, but you never know. The Bills may say he needs that because we got to evaluate. We think he'll be ready in 3 weeks, and he needs to ramp up. I mean, you do have, I think the bye week falls at a really good time this year for all this. So the Bills' bye week is week 7. They'll play three more games, and then they have a bye. And if they can get through these three games pretty healthy, and you don't have Max Harrison back or Tyler Bash yet, then you can start making more decisions on another week of kind of a, you know, free space game, no game, and then make a decision. So a lot of things coming. Then, of course, it's Michael Hoyt. Michael Hoyt. Why do I say? I knew a guy named Larry Hoyt once, and I always want to say Larry Hoyt. It's Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt. They are eligible to return from their suspensions and must be put back in the roster after their 6 weeks and six games are up. So there's a lot to be done here. In the meantime, all weekend long, right here, WGR Sports Radio 550, we got you covered. Bills, Saints, all day on Sunday, and of course, game at 1 o'clock. Buffalo Football Fridays are brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Thanks a lot to Dan Dale, producing today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and all week here at WGR. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the game on Sunday at 1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase. Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.